with. As long as you keep your head to the sky, be optimistic. Welcome, bienvenue, another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lucien Lebanor.
Oh, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Today's episode has been recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on May 28, 2025. Today's episode is also rated R and an F. R and the letter F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeling as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast might not be for you. Actually, it ain't for you. Before I continue, I'd like to continue with tradition and say shout out to all you listeners. And do me a favor, applaud yourselves. And if this is your first time listening to this podcast, welcome. In the house that B Black made. Now, seriously, here's hoping that I say something throughout this episode that resonates and allows us to make history. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website. ShutUpPodcast411 at gmail.com is the email address. I want to remind you that this is a safe space for my thoughts. This podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green. With the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu, motherfucker. In today's episode, titled 269, I was going to go with I'm a black man living in a white world, but now I'm thinking of Long Live the Rose. I'll explain my thinking in the future thought. But so today's episode, I follow up on a thought that I had on... I kind of like teased you about it. Like I wasn't sure if I was going to talk about it, but I'm going to talk about the aha moment I had after listening to the episode of the Blocks podcast with Neil Brennan and W. Camel Bell. Yeah. It's going to get deep. It's going to be deep. All right. But that's feature thought. But before we get to feature thought, we're going to do a bit of some quotes and some randomness. Woo! Right. Okay. Let's start with the quotes. Today's quote, I got three today. Okay, let's, first one. This one is from the mouth of Tom Hardy, the actor, white boy. Actor, and he says, being alone for a while is dangerous. It's addicting. Once you see how peaceful it is, you don't want to deal with people anymore. Next one. Accept rejection. Don't beg. Never chase. Know your worth. Choose yourself. Yeah, it's a lot of quotes about feeling yourself. And the last one goes, this is a life hack, and it goes, the more you are grateful for what you have, the more you will attract things to be grateful for. Let me reread that. The more you are grateful for what you have, the more you will attract things to be grateful for. Ooh. Ooh. Yeah, sometimes I just save these quotes. And this one I never processed it. I'm stumped. This is the first time I know what it's saying, but it's not, it's resonating, but it's, okay, I need to give it time to marinate. But that's what quotes are about. Sometimes I just say stuff meant for you to marinate. And then once it marinates, then I'll preach it. Okay. All right, let's do some, start with some randomness. We'll finish off with some randomness. Okay. Okay, first item I put down is Twitter, Blue Sky aren't working. Yeah, okay, so I'm this is my way of saying that I'm working on a few projects. for this podcast. And one of the things I love about this podcast, or Doom Podcasting, is how there's the recording, which you're hearing right now. And then there is the side projects, like programs, website modification, and featured ideas. Anyway, so I, while doing some research, and yes, I used the OpenAI for that, right? I was thinking about the fact that I don't feel like Twitter and Blue Sky are like the best place to promote or to share my podcast. And what I guess where OpenAI comes in is I like to think of the problem, articulate it in words, and then use this tool to like reflect on it. And it had me realize that I've never been clear about the goal for this podcast. Actually, that's wrong. Initially, the first goal was just to have a podcast. It was just to get back on my feet. Kind of like comedy. You know, I haven't done comedy in a while. I'd like to get back on my feet. But it was like, the first goal was just get your fat ass off the couch and get back into podcasting. 269 episodes now. I'm in, you know, pat myself on the back. You know what? Let me, you know, milestone. Yay! 269 episodes now. I'm finally at the point where I can start thinking about actual like goals beyond just recording, just getting better than recording episodes that was better than the last one. Now it's branching off. I know I've talked about this already, but it was more the realization that I didn't really have a concrete fleshed out a goal. And I'm realizing what my hope is. Actually, no, I've been saying that. When I say, if you're a first-time listener, I hope I say something that resonates and allows us to make history. What I'm actually didn't know until I had this thought exercise was I'm actually trying to make a connection. This is, I mean, some people create dating profiles. Some people create do podcasts. And what I'm saying... dating profiles. I don't mean I'm trying to get laid. I'm saying it would be nice. It would be nice to have conversations with people. Excuse me. Positive. Or no, not positive. Let's go constructive, insightful, useful conversation. Sensations. About the stuff that I say with someone. And it's productive and it's productive. As opposed to, oh, that's stupid. Oh, I don't get it. That's it. So the quest is, how do I go from here to there? I feel like Dookie, was it Dookie who said that? Or no, or is it Bubbles? How do you go from here to over there? Or how do you get from heaven to, how do you get to heaven? Whatever. It was deeper the way he said it. But I guess the big bonus part, the beautiful part, the great part about what I'm saying is I'm finally looking in the horizon. I'm finally saying, okay, dreaming big, thinking bigger. That's really what it's all about. So why, to be continued, I don't know where I'm at. I mean, I know where I'm at now, but I'm at the journey of 1,000 miles. Well, this is just the first step. Now I just got to figure out the rest of the activities. But again, it's my goddamn podcast. I like this. I like having things to do. You know what I mean? It's like my little hobby. I'm also going to make, I also have an idea for some improvement I'm going to make to the website. And I'm so excited to do it for this fucking episode. I'd be doing it right now. It's going to involve some coding. It's going to involve some nerd shit. All right, okay. Next item. Okay, I'm just going to quickly go through. Yo, I've been really enjoying Andor, the TV series, the Disney TV series Andor. I was never really a big Star Wars person. I never said Star Trek. Star Wars fanatic. I mean, I didn't say I hated it, but I wasn't like, it wasn't like how I enjoyed Game of Thrones or Silos or... you know, that universe. But Rogue One was my introduction to that part of the world of Star Wars. and I enjoyed that movie. Now I'm watching Andor. I don't know. It took me a second time to rewatch it for me to get into it. And boom, I finished season one. And I got to tell you, man, I want to join the Empire. I want to get down with the Empire. Fuck being the rebels. They got shitty ships. Anyway, I'm kidding. The Empire gets bitches. I'm kidding. I'm told season two is going to make me change my view about it. But look, it's just well-written. Is that the word I want to use? But I'm not going to go into the science of it, but I'm just enjoying it. So yeah, Andor, Rogue, and this is what I wrote in Good Food. I guess this is my gratitude journal portion of the episode. Is finished season one. I was in the process of watching Rogue One, Rogue One. Shout out to Randolph Terrence from the Three Guys On podcast. He at some point he recommended Andor, and I'm like, but there's only white people in there. I'm kidding. No, but I remember being like skeptic at first, but you know, I think that's what I like about some of my favorite podcasts. When they make recommendations, and 9 times out of 10 it hits, they don't fail to disappoint. Like, I've had people at the barbershop recommend shit that was like, man, that's the last time I'm coming to this barbershop. But the podcast I listen to, that's how I know we're like, they're my favorite podcast, because when they recommend shit, it's usually good. Anyway, so shout out to him. I'm glad I took him up on that suggestion, and yeah, I got a little beautiful pastime. Oh, and good food. Yeah, before, here's the funny part. I was, before recording, I had made myself some dinner after work. And it was really delicious, but it's gone down my stomach and I'm feeling a little, I don't know. I don't go into details, but I went from this is fucking delicious to, uh-oh. There's a weird bubble. There's some rumbling in my stomach. Like, I'm not going to throw up, but I'm just saying, yeah, there's, that's the problem with cooking for yourself. You got no one else to blame for the fuck-ups but yourself. Okay. All right, okay. All right, now the next three randomness is I'm going to categorize them as videos that are TikTok clips. No, videos. There are, so two of them are TikTok and one of them is video, but that weighed on my mind. All right, so I'm just going to play them all and usually I like to let people listen to them themselves, but yeah, no, I'm just going to play them all. They're worth sharing. Again, links are in the show notes. You can go to shutuppodcast.com. Actually, you got to go to the Castos site. So shutuppodcast.castos.com. And you'll see the links to, that's where I put my show notes. But anyway, so the links to these videos are available on the show notes. All right, first one. So apparently in the United States, it was Memorial Day again. and this video really crossed my mind. And it starts, the title is, "We Don't Celebrate Memorial Day in This House." I mean, I labeled it as that, but the actual video is probably titled something else. But check it out.
"We don't celebrate Memorial Day in this house. In fact, I don't support the military at all. Hi, I'm Joanna. I'm the widow of a disabled retired Marine. And every year on Memorial Day, I like to remind people why I don't support the military. So in 2013, my late husband took his own life in our home with our 4 kids inside. First, he tried to take me with him. That was because he had PTSD and a traumatic brain injury from, you guessed it, being in the Marines. Now, why don't I support the military in general? Well, I'll tell you. Nobody is fighting for our rights anymore. They're going overseas to fight for oil interests, for big oil companies here in the United States. Can you guess who the biggest lobbyists in our government are? Oil companies. You guessed right. You got it. And do you know what the military does to people from the time they sign their name on that dotted line? They are breaking them down mentally. Look up what happens to people after being just in boot camp. Then you send them overseas to fight a war that's not actually happening, looking for weapons of mass destruction. And all they're doing is hurting other people, hurting themselves, and then going home and hurting their families. I like to take every single Memorial Day and remind people that no, people are not dying for our freedoms. They are dying for rich men's oil. I got left with 4 broken children and a whole lot of trauma. My middle son is currently hospitalized for suicidal ideation that has to do with his father's passing. All right, keyboard warriors, go ahead and tell me how I'm unpatriotic and a dumb liberal. I was his caregiver. I saw what the military did. Mm. Until you've walked a mile in my shoes, you don't get to tell me how I support our country or don't support our country.
The name of this content creator is Joanna Lynn Official. Okay, I'm hoping I can play that clip because there was background music playing. And I mean, YouTube is usually like pain in the ass with that. But anyway, okay, I digress. I'm not going to expand more past. I just remember the first time I hit play and I'm hearing, it's Memorial Day. I don't celebrate Memorial Day and support the military. I'm like, what? Blasphemy. And I remember thinking, because I said that, I had that gut reaction because I still remember after 9/11 how, even in Canada, man, everyone was like, there was this big thing about supporting the troops and was it orange? No, red. I can't remember. Every Friday, everyone wore a red t-shirt or something red to say, you know, you supported the troops. Like, everyone, look, after 9/11, even I was like, you know what? Maybe these conservatives got a good point, man. Fuck peace. Fuck, you know, like, even I bought into the hype of, like, kill them all. Holy shit. I was like, Israel, October 7th, Israel, and every other time they've, like, committed some atrocities. But anyway, whatever. I was into it. And then time has passed, and you find out that, oh, wait, what? This shit was all over oil? Weapons? Why the fuck are we in Iraq? Why the fuck are you're in Iraq? And I guess just, you know, just history. This history of of romanticizing war. Just learning all kinds of shit and finding out that, man, it's all bullshit. It's not like in the movies, like, we go to war to fight for something noble. No, some rich asshole is like, yeah, I'm trying to get some means. And make some friends. And whatever. I'm just... I've seen enough documentary and read enough books about war to know, like, it sucks. War is like I agree with the notion that war is like a primitive method of conflict resolution. Anyway. So to her point, I think this whole idea of supporting the troop felt like bullshit. I'm like, wait, why do we have to support the troop? Shouldn't these fucking politicians, shouldn't they be the ones supporting the troops? Like, I'm hearing about veterans not getting compensated or not being taken care of. It's so fucked up, man. Sorry, I just realized why I was feeling so down. I've been thinking about this video. I love the video, but it's just her entire message of, like, she's right. The whole notion of this war is bullshit. It's like sending poor people to fight for rich men, for rich people, to die for rich people, and then they come back. No one gives a fuck. It's like, you're paid in the ass. Granted, I'd like to think in Canada where we do better, we take care of veterans better. But still, war sucks. I feel for this lady, man. Like, yeah, and I meant, like, I felt I went in the comment section just to fight a motherfucker. Like, she said, come on, yeah, I dare you keyboard warriors to come at me. I came in there to fight them. And whatever. To fight them. Who am I kidding? All right. To go to war with them. Okay, bud. All right, okay, next clip. This one is AOC. Every once in a while, no, AOC is a brilliant woman, as she always says some great shit. But this is something I felt worth sharing. And I'm putting it under church ratchetness. Church ratchetness is a segment that I created for myself to talk shit about the church. I'm a son of a preacher man, and all us preachers' kids. Some of us have babies out of wedlock. I talk shit about the church. That's what happens. All right, okay. The title of this one starts with the title of this one goes, Jesus would have been deported. Break it down, AOC.
It's very difficult to sit here and listen to arguments in the long history of this country of using scripture and weaponizing and abusing scripture to justify bigotry. White supremacists have done it. Mm-hmm. Those who justified slavery did it. Those who fought against integration did it. And we're seeing it today. And sometimes, especially in this body, I feel as though if Christ himself walked through these doors and said what he said thousands of years ago, that we should love our neighbor and our enemy, that we should welcome the stranger, fight for the least of us, that it is easier for a rich man, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into a kingdom of heaven, he would be maligned as a radical and rejected from these doors. And I know, and it is part of my faith, that all people are holy and all people are sacred unconditionally. And that is what makes faith sometimes, that's what prompts us to transform, because it is unconditional. It's not about that it is up to us to love parts of people. We love all people. There is nothing holy about rejecting medical care of people, no matter who they are on the grounds of what their identity is. There is nothing holy about turning someone away from a hospital. There's nothing holy about rejecting a child from a family. There's nothing holy about writing discrimination into the law. And I am tired of communities of being of faith being weaponized and being mischaracterized, because the only time religious freedom is invoked is in the name of bigotry and discrimination. I'm tired of it. It is not up to us. It is not up to us to deny medical care. It is up to us to feed the hungry, to clothe the poor, to protect children, and to love all people as ourselves.
Mm. Person wrote in a caption, Jesus would 100% be deported if he were here today, and he would become a woke radical. Look, I remember growing up, before I became, I was a big fan of Jesus. I loved the story. He felt like the breath of fresh air in this evil world. Like he felt like the right in a world that was wrong. And, just the stories of, oh man, he gave all those fishes. You know, this is me as a kid just liking the idea of someone just being kind. And, you know, I grew up and then the world wasn't the same, man. The world was not. Anyways, I'm not going to have a conversation, argue with you about, you know, whether to stick to being Christian or not. I chose not to be. But I'm just saying, it's true. I think that's the part that breaks my heart, is like all these people who are like devout Christian, and for some reason they have some kind of fucked up interpretation of who I thought Jesus was, and commit atrocities. Look, if your God can't talk you out of committing genocide, then fuck that. He does not exist. He or she does not. It does not exist. If your God isn't clear on what consent, you know what? Okay, that's another one. But anyways, yeah, it's true. It's just, what am I mad at? Okay, you know what? I could go deeper on that one. But what exactly am I really angry at? That this religion is just not, yeah. Anyway, you know, I'm not. All right, yeah, this is. Getting too deep for me to try to explain. But shout out to AOC. That was some great words. That was some words of wisdom. All right. Words of wisdom. Okay. Next one. Last clip is, the closet isn't just for gay people. Now, this content creator, I've played his, I played their stuff on the last episode. And man, he's just spitting straight wisdom. Straight, just beautiful words. But here we go.
I'm about to tell you a secret. The closet is not just for gay people. It's just that gay people were honest that we were closeted. Everybody's closeted. And everybody plays pretend. They all walk around saying, I am, even though they have no idea who they are. Mm. What they're often saying is, I want to make you feel comfortable. So I'm going to contort myself into who I think that you want me to be. That is a form of injury that I, as a poet, could spend eons trying to write and never articulate. The pain of feeling like the only way you can belong is by betraying yourself and shape-shifting, knowing that that love is dependent on your self-disappearance. Mm. The reason that trans people like me inspire so much envy, which is a synonym for transphobia, is because people look at us and they say, what do you mean you get to be free now? I thought we had to play pretend. I thought we had to play hide and seek our entire lives. And trans people have the moral fortitude and clarity to look at the world and say, no.
Powerful. The content creator's name is, shame on me, right? I didn't see their name. It's Alok, A-L-O-K. On TikTok, it's at Alok Vminon. Yeah, I know. I'm really bad for pronouncing names of content creator, but you know, English. Fuck the English. All right, okay. Comedian, poet, and again, I've played their content before, and straight fire. I can't add beyond what they have already said, except for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey. That's right. I blame Whitey for the reason why all of us grew up with this notion that we had to be who or not to impress people when we don't even like, whatever, to fit in other people's, you know what, I'm going to save what I need to save for future thoughts. So this concludes randomness. We're going to take a quick break and then finish off with some, with a feature thought. I'm a black man living in a white world. I was, and I'm back. Yeah, I'm back. In case you didn't notice, I'm back.
That boy is good.
Okay. Okay, let's just start with, before I get to the podcast, let me just start with, fuck it. The reason I have feature thought is so that I don't do what I'm doing right now, overthinking what I'm trying to say. What else could be one of the reasons? All right. So let me just start with, at the beginning, I was explaining how I'm not sure what the title will be, but I remember thinking initially I was going to go with, I might still, who knows, depending on how the spirit leads me, I'm going to go with either, initially it was going to be, I'm a black man living in a white world. And it's based off a song by Michael Kiwanuka. And yeah, just for the chorus. I love the chorus. And then I was thinking about White Man's World by Tupac. And finally I remembered, I thought about the song by the poem by Tupac, The Rose That Grew Through the Concrete. And there's a verse in that poem that goes, long live the rose that rose through the concrete. And I think I'm gonna go, because one feels more positive, white man living in a white world. I don't know, it just feels like it's accurate. But look, when I was about to record this podcast, I was feeling down, man. I had to do a bit of affirmation. I had to snap out. I was feeling down, and I think it was just a white black man living in a white world, and combined with Memorial Day and that talk about Memorial Day and just this crazy world that we live in. I was just down, so I think I'm gonna go with Long Live the Rose, just to my way of saying that I rise through the bullshit. Yeah, okay, so the reason why, how did I get from that title to a podcast episode with Neil Brennan? All right, so Neil Brennan, both comedians, and W. Kamau Bell, they were chatting with each other, and there's something Kamau said, or W, is that how, I don't know what we call his first name, but whatever, man, something he said, it made me think about how he's a comedian who came out from white spaces. And he didn't use these words, but essentially, it's like his beginning wasn't similar to me. Again, I live in Canada. I live in a city called Ottawa. And part of being from Ottawa, there's a reason they call this country the Great White North, right? Don't get me wrong. There are black people in this country. I just happen to not be. I happen to be in the part of the country where, yeah, we were a rarity. We were like, hey, another black guy. Hey, oh my God, another black woman. Oh my God. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's like, you know, there's more black people now, but growing up, holy shit, yeah. I was that one black kid in the picture. I was the, hey, holy shit, okay, you're the reasons why I can't use the N-word, fuck, or whatever. I was a lot of introduction to a lot of white people. But it's the impression that I got, even though he was born in the South, the impression I got, I guess he must have gone to white school. I get the feeling he grew up with white people. And I gotta find his biography. But the impression I got is he said something like he didn't come up like you I don't know, your Bernie Max or your like any black comedian who grew up with black people. And hearing him say that gave me a glimpse of hope. Because it's the idea of even though you're even though you grew up in a white environment, even though you're a black person who grew up in a white environment, it doesn't stop you from being the comedian you want to be, the black comedian you want to be. And the more I think about it, right? I mean, it's like, yo, it's a joke that writes itself. My name is B Black. I'm a pro black comedian who grew up with white people. I mean, it's a joke unto itself. But I think what I like about his story is there seems to be an acceptance on his part. I mean, the dude's successful as a comedian. You know what I mean? Professional career-wise, he's doing it. And I would imagine there's some kind of embracing. I've been spending, and hearing him talk made me realize that I've been spending a lot of time. I feel like the it's like I wanted to be a gangster rapper, and I'm from Malibu. And I was angry at the fact that I was from Malibu. And I kept thinking that, how could I be a badass gangster rapper be a badass gangster rapper from a fucking city called Ottawa? You know what I mean? And another thing in that discussion that Kamau and Neil were having is there was a chat, and this is what fascinating is because there's a white boy, and these two are having a discussion on who gets to define what is black. Now, I want to be careful. No, you take it easy. No, Neil Brennan wasn't there. Well, as a white guy, I believe, no, man. This dude was actually contributing to the conversation by fucking listening. He wasn't like, well, I believe that black should be defined by what I say. No, it was. This is what I'm trying to say. This is what amazed me about that conversation. It's the fact that there was a black man with a white man having a mature, intelligent, insightful conversation about a topic that's usually reserved for black people. To Neil's credit, he knows how to navigate in those space. He knows. Yeah, he was able to handle that. Look, the fact that I'm like able to take away from that conversation fascinated me. And here's where, I guess, where the two clings together, right? On the last episode, I completely neglected or forgot that May 25th was the death anniversary of George Floyd. And, yeah, I remember I published the last episode, and then I go on social media and I say, today we remember George Perry Floyd. I'm like, fuck, forgot to mention it. But yeah, no, I did take the time to think, to reflect on it, and I'm making a connection, right, between the podcast. So I gave the context about the podcast. But when I was thinking about the death of George Floyd, I feel like something after his death, something in me died. And one of it is my ability to believe in the humanity of white people. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not saying white people aren't human. I'm not saying I don't believe white people are human. But it's like I have difficulty, like after George Floyd, difficulty believing in the humanity towards us. Their ability to see us as human. So I have this joke, but actually, I kind of actually believe it. But for other people, it's a joke. That first time I finally got myself to watch Planet of the Apes movie, fucking hate it. Don't get me wrong, but I hate it, right? But finally, one movie I was able to watch. Again, hated the movie, but and I'm seeing like these talking gorillas, talking monkeys, and all that, and I'm like, I bet that's how white people see us. I bet that's not, they, so I think like there's something that's fucked up in their mind that prevents them from embracing our humanity. Like with each other, they're all right, oh, my buddy, I hope you, whatever, right? Empathize with them. But with black people, look, I'm trying to say slavery fucked up white people. Now, I already had this conversation with my therapist, and I admitted this. I admitted this part that, sure, after George Floyd, there were a lot of white people who were, excuse me, I'm going to say a lot, but there were white people who were like, oh, wow, now I understand what black people been saying. There were a few that had that revelation. There were a few that was like, oh shit, let me read this book, White Fragility. Like a sense of consciousness came out. But there weren't enough of them for me to be like, to keep the faith. Like, and you know, social media, whatever, like, okay, I'm gonna take responsibility for this thing, but yes, the negative, the motherfuckers who were like, how did what happened to George Floyd, how was that racism? Like the people who were still skeptic, the people who were like, yo, repressing, like they saw what happened to him and they were repressed because it's like they were worried that if they gave a fuck about this black man, it would send him down this windmill, this rabbit hole of guilt. And next thing you know, they're like, okay, fine. He take my house, take my keys. I'm sorry what my people did to you, which is not what black people want. Look, again, I don't know what it's like to be white people, but I know there's like some loose screws in their ability to deal with us. And those were the white people who kept getting my attention. And they were the ones that I used to be like, fuck it, I'm done with white people. Now, I got to be clear, you know what I mean? Because I know there's probably an agent, CIA agent, FBI agent, like COINTELPRO shit, listening to this and going like, oh, it's just like, you know, looking for keywords. Is he planning a riot? Whatever, right? The feelings I have towards white people, it's complicated. I mean, like, talk to my therapist, complicated. Like, I need to untangle this shit. And for, I say the reason why I addressed the FBI agent, but it's not to the point of wanting to hurt other people. I mean, the desire's there, but it's not to the point of doing it. Like, you know, I'm not a fucking sociopath. But it is enough that it's hurting me. It's fucking me up. It's making like, it's like I'm living in a world I can't tell where left is right is left. It's, I love, I hate, I'm like, this is where the song, I'm a black man living in a white world. There's a lyric of that, there's a song about that. It goes, I love and I hate, I'm like, it's like I don't have a ground to stand on. It's like my ground is all fucked up. I'm in this weird, you know, sometimes I think I've inherited from my ancestors after from my enslaved ancestor, the complex relationship we have with white people is because, like, you know, they've committed all kinds of atrocities, but they knew, but their survival depended on them not showing any form of resentment against white people. Because that's your ass. Like, in my world, I can't say these things because then I'm surrounded by white people who think stupid shit like, well, black power and white power is the same thing. It's both racism, right? I don't see the difference. Like, you can't have, like, intelligent conversations about race. Like, about race with white people. At least the white people in my circle. I'm thinking about part of when I'm talking about this complex feelings that I have. I'm thinking about it's like the first time someone ever called me the N-word. Call me nigger. It's not that I remember the moment, but it's like I remember the feelings. It's like the N-word, and I didn't even have time to react to what the fuck. I didn't even have time to process what's going on. I'm surrounded by people, white people being like, hey, calm down, calm the fuck down. No, it's just, you know, it's just words, calm down, whatever. I got my parents saying, don't, you know, like, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. I remember I read the book White Fragility, and I think it was White Fragility, where they talk about how, like, for white people, where it's the same is, they grew up as kids, and they see a black person for the first time, and the kid's innocent kid, it's like, hey, how come his skin is dark? Whatever, let's say some, could have been like, hey, darky, whatever, some shit like that. And mom, dad flips out, blah, blah, blah. And from there, they grew up with this notion of, okay, I can't, talking about race is going to get me in trouble. In my case, I grew up with the notion that processing these feelings is going to get me in trouble. Like, articulating these thoughts is going to get me in trouble. By the way, this is probably a case to why you should, I'm probably a good example of why you should, sorry, I don't know if you can hear that, but there's a goddamn mosquito bothering me. Anyway, yeah, so, must be the heat. And the goddamn compost. All right, where was I? Yes, all right, so where was I? Fuck. Damn mosquito. Ruined my train of thought. Fuck. I blanked out. Sorry, gang. I forgot what I was in the middle of saying. Maybe I should rewind, but whatever, man. Yeah, complexity of living with white people. Oh yes, I'm the example of yes, maybe you should send your black kid to a school where there's only black kids in there, so they don't grow up feeling like they're an other, so they don't grow up feeling like, I kind of resent, like, so they don't grow up suppressing what they need to feel when they learn about their history. That's all I remember about learning slavery in school. Fuck, punk ass white people looking in my direction. Like, I know what the fuck the teacher is saying. Fuck, it was annoying, man. Yeah, we're learning about this again. You know, slavery. By the way, in French, slave ship in French is a nigger ship. They're niggerie, like, you know, yeah, but it's fucked up, man. I hate the French language. But I'm just remembering being in class, and we're learning about slavery, and of course, the teacher's like, "Ouais, puis on appelle ça un négrier," and all the fucking kids are looking at me. What's he gonna do? He's gonna riot, and I'm like feeling like, on one end, I'm handling what the fuck. Oh, what? What's the ship called? And then on the other end, I got white people looking at me like I'm about to give up, like they're waiting for me to tap dance. It's like, it was like a fucked up feeling. And it was like, it just made me want to shrink and hide and, like, not exist. But yeah, anyways, I say all that, but okay, so I say all that, I guess, of growing up in white space. It was refreshing to see those two talk to each other in it's something like I've never seen before. I'm trying to compare it to that black man is making eye contact with a white man. Or that white man is, I don't know, I can't think of an example to use, but it was just that conversation that they had, the stuff that they talked about, and the topic they were able to breach together, chat about together. I don't want to say it gave me hope, but gave me a reason to say long live the rose, I guess. And now this is the part where I reaffirm or reassert that, look, on this podcast, I don't offer solutions. This is not me telling you what you should do. This is just me thinking out loud. This is all stuff that if I don't, like, I should put down on paper, like write some kind of dissertation, but usually it just gets stuck in my mind and dies there. But yeah, no, I'm going to flesh out this idea even more. But what I am going to say that the one brief of, like, if this was a movie, if like this was the biography of my biography, and my biography was a movie, right? And the part of the story, like the one, like, happy ending. You know, I'm not saying it's a happy, I mean, like, it's not like it ends, but like there's like the one moment of positivity is hearing Camus talk and all that is shit. Yo, it's been 5 years actually since I stopped doing comedy. And the death of George Floyd like influenced that, like played on it too. And the problem that's hopeful is the realization that, okay, if Camus could do it, I can do it. So what I'm telling you is I still haven't set a date to do it, like, you know, another open mic. But what I did do is I started signing up, not signing, but like checking out Facebook. I hate Facebook, but checking out. Basically, I finally started to look for the local open mics in the city. Sorry, you know, it was hard because there's a lot of names I really did not want to see again, didn't want to hear again. I'm like, yeah, fucking die. I was hoping you were kind of dead. And whatever, man. But I think I'm going to stick to doing comedies, like when it comes to Ottawa. Essentially, I was trying to get back into comedy, but I didn't want to do it in Ottawa. But the problem, here's the catch 22, but if I don't do any comedy in Ottawa, then I'm not getting any practice. So the idea is I do some open mic shit in Ottawa, and then I think I'm going to be avoiding like the big clubs in the city because all these crackers just want you to tap dance for them. And I ain't. It's another thing that Camus said that I like is how he was able to do comedy his way. So that's what's different about this next time around about me doing comedy. It's going to be like doing it my way, like Frank Sinatra doing it my goddamn way. Yeah. So I think the strategy right now is going to back to open mic. I hear Swizzle is still around. Like Swizzle is a bar. It's a gay bar in Ottawa. And on Monday they do comedy. But I loved about that place. It was the one place I felt like, even though I was into that kind of stuff, like to being authentic, but it was the one place I felt like you were encouraged to be yourself. So I'm thinking of, you know, probably if I'm, I might check out a show. That's how it starts, gang. For those of you who want to do comedy, if you want to get into comedy, go to the open mic. And if you're lucky, you're going to have a feeling, hey, I can do what that person just did. And whether you can, whether you can or can't do it, you're only going to find out till you get on that stage. So yeah, problem with doing open mics in bars is you gotta fight to get people's attention. It's like, yeah, you gotta like work on your ego because it's like there's some motherfucker in the background ordering drinks. If you're lucky, you got a good audience, but for the most part, it's like it's not like on TV, man. You're fighting for people's attention, and you could be doing a great set. You could have all the best jokes, but the configuration of the place is. All you hear is, ha, ha, ha. All you hear is,
that boy is good.
You know what I mean? One person going, yeah, shit, that's good, funny. But you're in a bar while hearing, like, clink, 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 a double-double. Let me get a Heine, and can you tell the community to shut the fuck up? I'm trying to order here. Anyways, yeah. Anyway, all right. So so that's probably the only positive outtake from It's Amazing. I went from, just to summarize, talked about the podcast, George Floyd's death. May he rest in peace. And growing up in white space. And yeah, man. And I don't know. I have a feeling of giving it a shot. Giving it a shot again. But yeah. Pray for me. I guess that's all I'm going to say is pray for me. Yeah. Put your wing. All right, okay. On that note, I'm going to end this here. Check out the other links. Again, check out the show notes. There's an other links section, and for your own interest. I think my favorite one is Fortress Dwellers. You'll click it and it'll make sense. But this concludes today's episode. Thank you for listening. Remember that website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Before I end the show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu, motherfucker. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé-Québec. I also represent and hold it down for black folks I also hold it down and represent for black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question,
are you an outcast?
This episode was rated R and F. Extra F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff. Reckon liberal as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be that with Whitey, then fuck you too. Thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.